This is Forrest Elise interviewing Claudia Avila on August 12th at 3:50. Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started. So can you bring me back to the around the time that you were pregnant, if there is anything memorable, you know, the weather or an event, anything to kind of situate us in that time?
Weather-wise, I believe it was a rather mild environment, although the home life was very difficult. I had only been in America for about a year, or less actually, about 9 months, and I was still acclimatizing to the change in temperature. After relocating from a colder environment to a very hot environment. So it was almost enlivening. And I'll just stop there. Yeah.
No, that's fascinating. Please, you're welcome to continue. Do you want to... So were you in Iceland?
Well, I had been in America for about 9 months. And and I was actually contemplating returning. But I found out I was pregnant a few months. I was already maybe 2 months pregnant when I found out. At first, I thought it was a yeast infection. but then, you know, I had a little bleeding, so I thought, oh, it was my period. It was an odd month. But it turned out that, because I thought I had a very serious yeast infection, it turned out to be I was just pregnant. My body was just reacting to the pregnancy. So, yeah.
So, what was the colder environment that you were more accustomed to?
Iceland. Yeah, when I was living in... I had lived in Iceland for nine years because I was married. So, I had a life there. And then things changed. And I relocated to Arizona, which is completely opposite from my 9 years in a very cold climate.
So what brought you out here?
What happened was that I noticed that my art was suffering when I was in Iceland because of the extreme isolation. I never really met anybody for 9 years, and I think that it was affecting the marriage that I had there. And my art slowly started to, in a way, vanish, dissipate, regress, greatly regress. So there's a lot of synchronicity, meeting my future husband, who's a local Arizonan. And we met through a mutual friend, who's likewise an artist. So it was interesting because we met in a not very friendly way. We kind of started off being snarky with each other. But his art was so impressive, and he kind of rejuvenated me. And I thought maybe I should just do an experiment and visit him and see what would come of it. So, it was difficult because, you know, not meeting beforehand. But of course, I was pregnant about nine months later after visiting him. So we did get along in the most essential ways.
So you hadn't met him physically. You knew of him while you were in Iceland and communicated with him then?
That's correct. I had never met him physically. I communicated with him through email. And since we had a mutual friend, there was more trust than, of course, not knowing somebody. And you just meet them and make a rash decision to visit them. I think the mutual friend made it more, gave it more validity and trust, definitely.
So was it passionate? I mean, were you knowing, is there like, this is my, the love of my life, and I'm going to have a family with this person?
No, the pregnancy was very unplanned on my part. It's interesting because I think people have an innate knowledge and of, let me repeat, people have an innate knowledge of wanting to reproduce. I had it less than my future husband, and he wanted to have a child, even if it was on a borderline subconscious level. So I wasn't upset when I found out I was pregnant. I was a little shocked. He was shocked likewise. But it worked out.
No, it certainly did. Yeah. Okay, so can you maybe talk about the experience once you found out you were pregnant, and then the pregnancy and your experience, you know, the physical changes or emotional changes that came with that?
Well, this was not my first birth. So I did expect my body to react a certain way when being pregnant. It didn't turn out that way, and that surprised me. So all along I thought the pregnancy is going to be easier because this is not, my body should know what to do. To a certain degree that's correct, but then it had a lot of unexpected physical reactions to the pregnancy. I had a lot of, I guess, pelvic pain, and which I wasn't accustomed to. I didn't experience that in my previous pregnancy. So I would try exercising, but there was still that pelvic pain, which was a little frightening because I thought, since I'm an older mother, I was a little frightened that maybe something would go wrong. As a matter of fact, one of the main concerns was that my son was going to be born with Down syndrome because of my age, and the clinic had actually told me, oh, there's a possibility he's going to be born with Down syndrome. So that frightened me the whole pregnancy, the whole length of the pregnancy. And I did refuse to take an amniocentesis just because I had to trust my intuition. So my intuition told me not to do it, not to go through the procedure. That didn't, of course, get rid of the apprehension that I had.
So, gosh, I assumed we were the same age. When were you born?
According to the doctor, I was considered a geriatric mother because it's when you're 34, 34, 35, that's geriatric mother. Of course, he was saying there's like a 1% chance, but that's enough to get people very anxious and worried. I sort of thought he just wanted to play with the fluids, you know. They send it to labs. As a matter of fact, he actually talked to me about that, how the labs would like to compete with each other to see who would get the results in first. I let him speak, and as I was observing him, I realized, okay, this is more maybe, this might be just about playing with fluid. So that really made me go with my intuition not to go through with the procedure.
Yeah, it can be a dangerous procedure, certainly invasive. Yeah, so I guess I was only a couple years away from being geriatric. Well, that's fascinating. So then, how did you... So you had pelvic pain.
Mm-hmm.
Did everything progress normally after that? I mean, you gained the normal amount of weight, or did you have water retention? Like, what were your other physical experiences?
Everything else was very normal. I had no other negative symptoms. I didn't have any water retention. I did exercise, so I tried to keep in somewhat physical shape for the birth because I knew it was going to take a lot of energy. There wasn't anything remarkable other than what was already stated. Yeah.
Had you taken classes? Had you planned to have a certain kind of birth or some sort of plan?
I never had the time really to take any classes to prepare me for the birth. What I did is read. I did read some books about it because I was really determined to have not only a vaginal birth, but one that didn't involve any epidural. Because in a foreign country, with my previous birth, it was just a midwife delivering my daughter, and I didn't have any medication, which I was actually really proud of. So I thought maybe I could do this again in the same manner. I didn't know that you can't exactly give birth the way you want here in Phoenix. When I was in a foreign country, I really changed my bodily, you know, my positions, experimented. So I gave birth on my knees when I was in a foreign country. It would be different. I didn't know it was going to be different, but it was here. I didn't know you had to request the this bar if you wanted to give birth on your knees. I had no idea. It was my fault I didn't ask, but it wasn't offered either.
Were there more differences in your previous birth that you found similar to that experience of not being able to change positions?
My labor was very long for both births. I would say that the difference between my former birth and my later birth is that the contractions, though they were as painful, they seemed, it could be because of my age, my advanced age at the time, as being a geriatric mother. I think it was, the contractions seemed a little bit, they had to be instigated almost. You know, the oxytocin, instigating the contractions with oxytocin, nip stimulation, which is what they tell you to do. So I think that was a very obvious difference.
So your previous birth, you found that it progressed more without extra stimulation or other things. Is that what you're saying?
My previous birth proceeded, I guess you say, more natural. That could be because of the environment. The environment was different, and I do believe the environment does affect your mindset. For instance, my previous birth, it was in a very dim, small room. Very comfortable. Very few people. Just midwife keeping an eye on you. Whereas here in Arizona, they did a great job. I'm not saying they did anything wrong. They were very friendly. Everybody's very friendly. But it wasn't as comfortable. It didn't have that home environment as much as in that foreign situation that I was in.
Yeah, there tends to be bright lights and a lot of people. And yeah. But you had always planned on going to the hospital for the birth here.
Correct. With my son, I did always intend to have a hospital birth. No underwater births or anything like that. Just, yeah, hospital birth. And just in case anything went wrong, I wanted him to have access to good medical care.
So did you have, your husband was there, and did you have family members there or a support network at the birth?
My husband was there at the birth. Since it was his first child, he was like a deer in headlights. He did research, and he thought being the eldest in the family and seeing his siblings, you know, arrive at the house and seeing his mother pregnant, that he would know how to react. It turned out he did not know how to react, and he was, I'm not chastising him or anything, but he was very useless at that time. I almost felt sorry for him as I was giving birth. So I had to tell him to leave. It was actually annoying me. So what I did is surround myself with the females, because the females are in tune with that. I actually requested that my mother-in-law show up and be there, and she did, because she had four children. I knew she would know exactly what that was like. So the father of my child, we were not married at the time, he had to step aside and allow me to be with the women. And it did help. Things changed after that. He was very helpful after the birth. It was just very frightening for him.
So, can you talk about what got you to the hospital? Like, were you at home and did your water break or did you have contractions? And, like, what was that process? Do you remember?
When I first started to feel that I was getting, my body was preparing to give birth, I believe it was about 3 a.m. and I had gone to the bathroom and I noticed some blood and I just felt, okay, well, it's time. I'm not really experiencing any major contractions, but there's blood and I really should, it's about time. My due date is right around the corner. So I notified the father of my child, and he was very nervous, of course. I tried to be calm. I didn't want to become too nervous with the situation. And also because I had already experienced being pregnant, so naturally I'm just more calm. It was his first experience as a father, so he was very excited. So he drove me to the hospital, and we were very tired because we actually went to bed quite late. I was actually painting that night. I still had paint on my body, which was really it was really fascinating and interesting when I was giving birth. And you see paint, oil paint on your leg, on your thigh. It was very surreal.
That's a really interesting image. I like that image. Okay, so you get into the hospital, and was everything progressing as they intended? I mean, was there any Pitocin, or did they didn't break your water?
No, there wasn't any Pitocin. I really had my mind set on having my son without an epidural or without any medication, excuse me. So I endured for hours. I had reached 8 centimeters. I needed 2 more centimeters. I just could not. I couldn't go through that. My body was beginning to tense up. It was actually interfering in the birth. And of course, if you let it drag on, you can experience more complications. So I did eventually cave in. But I am still proud of those 8 centimeters. So I did take the epidural after all. There wasn't anything unusual other than the prolonged labor.
So when the child was emerging, did your husband come into the, or your boyfriend at the time, come into the space with you? Did he actually see the birth?
I had actually requested that the father of my child not witness the birth. I didn't want him to see that because it's beautiful, yes, but there's also a very it's very brutal to see the body morph and change like that. I requested, please, do not look at the child come out. He really wanted to see it anyway, and he didn't tell me. And he took a look, and he watched the whole process. And he was actually quite fascinated by it. And it's something he, remembers to this day.
Yeah, it's interesting that the male impression or the partner's impression a lot of times of that experience and what people think. My mother said, that area, your vagina does not look like it normally does. So it's not like, it's just like a different thing. You know what I mean? So it doesn't impact them. Like, it doesn't make them look at you differently.
I see, yeah.
Because they're seeing it's like so different that it's almost like this is only associated with this one event. It isn't associated with, you don't take that home with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It recovers. It assumes its natural shape again, yeah. That's true. At first, when he saw the head, he thought, oh, that's nothing. The head is he's so small. Oh, I don't know what all the fuss is about. But then all of a sudden he saw the rest of the head emerge, and he almost jumped back. He was so shocked at the size of the child's head emerging out of the female body. It was, yeah, it's amazing. It wouldn't surprise me if we just didn't recover from that, because it's so brutal.
So then, can you talk about, do you remember hearing your son's voice and seeing him for the first time?
Oh, when I first saw my son, I was, it was a mixture of very conflicting emotions. I was elated, but I was also concerned, because this was the time where I would see whether he actually had any issues. So they placed him, I was actually waiting for the nurses to say something, or the doctor to say, you know, something, give any indication that there was something different about him. So they placed him on my chest, and he was just adorable and extremely curious. He tried to lift himself up with his arms just immediately, trying to look at our faces. It was amazing. Very strong. It was an indication of his strong will, which he still has. We did find out that there was something slightly wrong in his hearing on his right ear. Didn't pass the exam, the hearing exam. But it's actually nothing very serious.
Is that resolved over time?
No, he can't hear low sounds. But everything else is fine. He can hear speech.
Did you plan on nursing or bottle feeding, or did you have a plan about that, or did he take to nursing quickly?
I had experience breastfeeding with my previous child, so I knew what to expect. You know, the first week is always very difficult. The areola is always really sore for the first week, and then it adjusts to the feeding. So I went ahead and breastfed my son, especially since I wanted to establish that connection with him. I don't really, I do frown upon bottles. I, not to sound like a snob, but I do. So I breastfed him for almost a year.
That's impressive. Made it 6 months and I was like, but he was also not loving it. I don't know. You know,
some children, they reject it after 6 months. That's true. My daughter was like that, actually.
So the experience of being home and recovering after giving birth and everything, how was that for you?
The recovery, of course, is always painful, especially since I did request the doctor not snip me. So I tore naturally, and I needed some stitches. So that was, of course, it's painful. But everything else proceeded fine. The recovery was actually quite well.
Good. All right, well, let me look at my things, see if there was something I wanted to ask you. So we are asking women to kind of try to think of, so we're separating these stories into themes to maybe help us out by thinking of a word or a phrasing of words that kind of encompasses their experience. It's a challenging question.
One word that encompasses?
It can be a phrase of words or a series of words.
Just give me just...
Yeah, take your time.
Okay. How many themes do you have so far?
Five.
Is it possible for me to fit my story into one of the already pre-existing
themes? Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to know what they are? Okay. So far we have trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And yours doesn't seem really traumatic, you know, in that way that most people think of trauma. We have bond, you know, we're mm-hmm. playing with. We have color. Some people associate colors, you know, are very powerful to them. celestial bodies, things having to do with nature, have been important to a lot of women. So we're really at the stage where we're not forcing things into these themes. But a lot of women, when asked this question, will also talk about not thinking of things in that way, but thinking about things like how transformative the experience was for them, or how it made them think about their body differently. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So their experience is different than how we're thinking about putting them into themes. So it can really take on any form.
I would say it was a theme of vulnerability, because it didn't go how I intended it to go. So you feel very vulnerable when it doesn't go as planned, and you have to sort of adjust to it, and you realize that you're in a sense sort of, you're flirting with that powerlessness, you know, even though you're trying to focus, make things go as you intended, but you're still vulnerable. I think it depends on the person. I mean, some women are just excellent. They can, their mindsets are just amazing, and they can set their mind to it, have the baby. Actually, I read somewhere that in Japan, they think of it not as a hospital procedure, it's more natural. Whereas here in America, we think of it as a hospital, like surgical procedure. So we think of it just automatically in a different way. So I went in there knowing that, and I tried to change my mindset, try to see it more natural, try to be more in tune with it. It still didn't go the way I intended it. So maybe I need more work, maybe my body is different. I don't know. So I would say vulnerability, definitely.
That's interesting. It's interesting, too, that you felt vulnerable in this environment that is supposed to be all about safety and control.
Yeah, I felt vulnerable to the processes of the body, because it wasn't listening to me. You know, you're telling it what to do. It's not listening. So that's what... When your body's doing something without your consent, then you feel very vulnerable, because it's something else happening. It's like a whole different layer of your individuality. It's interesting.
That is interesting. So it's almost like your conscience, you know, or your thought process versus what your bodily functions.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, is there anything that you can think of that we didn't mention or talk about that's relevant?
No, I mentioned all the most relevant topics, yeah. Or you asked me these really good questions.
I think so, too. It just went so smoothly that it feels, like, wrong.
Really?
Yes.
Did I not say enough?
No.
Was I too personal?
No, can't ever be too personal. Great. Okay, so I think that we're going to end there.